As you can see, as we start walking into the next piece of this service, that we're going to do a little bit of jumping around in the New Testament here. This actually got its beginnings out of Romans 5, but found itself finding other places to be. And it's just kind of how this worked out as it started. It just started in Romans 5. And the next thing I know, I find myself in Hebrews. And then I found myself in James, and it just, the Lord just kind of wrapped us and put these things all together in this, what seems like a very simple thought process here, standing, relating, and doing. But before we get to the actual text here, I want to create a scenario for you. An editor from Time Magazine wants to do an interview with you. And the topic of the interview that this editor from Time Magazine, this writer from Time Magazine wants to get at is, what does it mean to be a Christian? How do you answer a question like that with Time Magazine? Does it feel like there's ulterior motives? But with those thoughts, what starts wrapping up into your mind as you start preparing to answer somehow the question, what does it mean to be a Christian? There's a potential multitudes of people are going to see this. They're going to see the response that you give here. So what are those first things that come to your mind? I have to guess that the word faith probably comes up very quickly. But there again, there's another word. What does that word mean? Faith. Because faith takes on a lot of different measures depending on who you are. If you love NFL football, do you have faith that your team is going to win today? Do you have faith that your car is going to get you from here to wherever your next location is? And I realize that's not the type of faith we're talking about, but that's the type of faith the average person is thinking. That is not Christian-minded. The other thing that might make this a little bit more difficult is this knowledge that we have that there have been so many that have gone before that kind of these big names and promote this whole idea of Christianity and then have fallen flat on their face and have made it really difficult for people to really see who we are in our Christianity. The other thing we need to be careful of is the answers. We have to make sure that those answers do not create just some type of a religious badge that we carry on our shirt. Because it's easy to answer a question like that and make it sound like a religious badge. I do this, I do this, I do that. The difficult thing here is understanding and helping people to understand that Christianity is not really everything, just what they see. That what they see is about this much of it. Because Christianity is on the inside. And what people see is that overflow of what's the inside just exuding out of our bodies. Maybe exuding out of our mouths. But how easy is that to portray? So the question, what does it mean to be a Christian? In an article like this, are we prepared to discuss Christianity as first, coming to a realization of who we are in our humanity? That we're sinners. Are we ready to speak about the separation that has been created between us and our God because of that sin? And if we are ready to do that, are we ready to share that Christ is the only one who can deal with that sin and those problems? And then here's that word again, faith. Faith that what we know about Jesus is real. Perfection, death, resurrection. So the three things that we see here is kind of coming out with this. Where are we standing? Where do we stand with our God? Where do we stand with Christ? What is our relationship? What is our relationship with Christ? And then once we know these two things, what are we going to do about it? Kind of where that rubber hits the road. So let's start with where we are standing. And this is where this whole thing began. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, and really just these first two verses. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope for the glory of God. Now, I'd like to walk through this passage with you just a little bit. And doing that, I want to pick out four words that really kind of resonate with what our question, what our thought process is here. Where do we stand with God? And the first one is the word justified. You can see it right there. It says that we are justified by faith, which means, in fact, we are not, so being justified is being made right with God. So what we see here in the fact that we are justified by faith, that we are not justified by the things we do. We're not justified by the things we say. We're not justified by how we act. We are justified, we are made right with God through faith, according to this text, through Jesus Christ. But yet, the way we live, does it oftentimes feel and look like that we think we are justified by our works? How much of a works-based justification, even though we know it's not real, kind of creeps its way into our lives? So let me ask you this. Do you believe you need to clean up your life for salvation? Because if we start to need to get this thought process and the belief that we need to clean up our lives before we can be saved, we kind of have the wrong idea. Then we're kind of missing the point of this whole idea of being justified by faith, being justified by Christ. But I get it, and I think you do too. I get that whole notion, how easy it is to get to that thing, that idea, because if you are raised like me, you are raised as get-or-done kind of people. You are raised with the idea that if you break it, you fix it. If you do something wrong, it's on you. Take care of it. That's the way we were raised. And that's why this kind of, this whole notion that we've got this one thing in our lives that we cannot fix is hard for us. It's hard. It's tough. We don't blame the people who raised us that way. We thank them for raising us that way, right? But we've got to get beyond this notion, this moment, that we can fix this on our own because we can't. Which brings us then, because we can't fix it on our own, and we know it's fixed, we get to our next word, and that's peace. Do you know, without the shadow of a doubt, that you are going to heaven? Do you know that because of Christ, you are saved? You can think all along the lines of how sinful you are and how bad you are. You can know that. In fact, those of you who know that, you're a little further along down in the process. If we accept and we understand who we are in our sin, we're a little further down in the process of understanding where we stand with Christ and with God. But see, that's the peace. That's the peace, knowing who we are, knowing we can't fix it, but knowing it's taken care of. That's the peace. Grace. Grace is our standing before God. Grace is our standing before God. Because we are sinful, Christ, out of his great love, took away that sin. Understanding that being made right before God is not something we deserve, because we know what our sin does. Our sin causes only one thing, and that's eternal death. But Jesus Christ covers that. Not because of anything we do. You know why he covers it? Because he wants to. Because he wants to. He wants that relationship. He wants your standing before God to be one that's going to bring us back to him. And because grace is our standing before God, we have hope. Because when we get there, the standing before God, we know that there is hope for our future. Eternal hope. It is an absolute knowledge. It is an absolute knowing before God that we know we are part of His kingdom. That we are part of His children, heirs to His kingdom. We had a neat, kind of a neat little devotion with school. I think it was with the juniors and seniors. I can't remember. I do two different things between the juniors and seniors and sophomores. But it called us, the devotion actually called Jesus our older brother. Our older brother who paved the way for us to get there. I thought, what a neat analogy. And really how that all fits, how that totally fits in. Paul is writing this to a group of Romans that are struggling with their question about a standing with God because of persecution, heavy persecution. So they had to understand that their sin was leading to death, but they also need to come to the realization that Christ's resurrection brings life. That forgiveness from those sins brings life. So the question is, do we believe? Do we believe all this to be true? Or even powerfully, do we know for 100% fact that all of this is true? And that's what kind of brought it to the book of Hebrews. So to look at our relationship, here's Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 6. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now, before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. What are you personally willing to do for someone that you call a very, very close friend? Think about that. And then, what do you think that very, very close friend is willing to do for you? Think about that relationship, how you relate to each other. When you're thinking about that friend, is there ever a moment that you feel like you have to prove that friendship? Does that friend need to prove their friendship to you? And I bring that up because I sincerely hope that every one of you has at least a friend or many that you don't need to feel like you got to prove that friendship. It's just there. It's obvious. They don't need to prove to you. You certainly don't need to prove to them. But yet, I sometimes wonder how, then why, if we think like on those lines, why do we need to prove something to God? Do we then feel like we need to prove who we are to God? And what makes us believe that we need to prove it to Him that we're worthy? Because if we need to prove our worth, what does that say about our relationship? We don't need to worry about that with a human relationship. Why do we need to worry about that with our divine relationship with our Christ? The first verse of Hebrews 11 is really, really powerful in this whole thing. So I'm going to break it up into two little parts here. So the first part here, you see it right there. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. We just got finished talking about hope and our standing before God. And I want you to see here now how that word continues to flow through this process of faith. That there is an assurance which I think is so much more than a belief. It becomes this absolute knowledge, this absolute understanding and feeling that there is a relationship and Christ owns it. That this relationship with Christ, we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to think about it. It's just there. He loves us this much. He made it clear to us who He is as our Savior when God Himself in the Son came on this earth, which leads us to the second part of that verse, the conviction of things not seen. I know you believe what happened at creation. God authored it. We've never personally laid eyes on any of this. We've never personally laid eyes on Jesus, but that never has allowed you or never made you keep from knowing what He has done and what we know He is willing to do for you. You did not need to lay eyes on Him to understand that. We trust because we know. We trust because there's a relationship. And how He relates to us. The fact that God came on this earth to relate with us. That's a true relationship. Then verse 6. Verse 6 makes it very clear that without faith, all of this stuff is very impossible. Because faith is what opens up that relationship to a God who wants to bring us into His presence. Made possible first by Christ walking this earth and then made complete by His death and His resurrection. Now, we get the Spirit. We get the Spirit after His ascension, pushing us and pulling us and prodding us along to be closer in that relationship that He offers. Faith begins when we accept that offer, an offer that God initiates with us. An offer that God initiates with us, that He brings to us. He calls us to be in relationship with Him, and now He's looking for our response. We will respond. It's a matter of how are we going to respond. When God calls us, He is expecting a response. He's going to get one. What kind of a response is He going to get? Well, here's the response. Here's where we got to look at response and how. What are we going to do about it? James chapter 2. This is a little bit longer, but I think it's all very powerful. So James chapter 2, verses 14 to 26. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things they needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. And in the same way was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. So here's what we know so far. Is that because of Christ, we have a standing before God. We also know that because of Christ, we have been placed into a relationship with Him. So, now what are we going to do about it? And this all comes on the knowledge and that we know that there's nothing that we can do for our own salvation. And remember, even though that's difficult to deal with, difficult to comprehend, because remember, we're doers, we're fixers. But remember, that doesn't get us to heaven. So it lends to an obvious question. Why do good works? Why do good things? Enter in the beauty of James chapter 2. This text bookends what we really need to try to understand here. So James chapter 2, verse 14 says this. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Right? Think about those words. That's where it starts. And it ends right here. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. We can know in our minds that all of this is true. But do we care? I can tell you all day long that I am a Christian, this is who I am. But what about me? Would you believe that that's true? And I can ask the same thing about you. You can tell me that you are a Christian all day long. But what is it about you that would make me come to believe that? I'm not asking for proof. I'm not here to prove myself to you. But according to James, there's some things that need to happen here. It's more than just telling people we care. There is an amount of need to show. So here's kind of the thought process. There really are kind of two notions to consider here. And the first of those is that we have to do good works for our faith to be proven. And if we have to do good works for our faith to be proven, what we're going to do is we're going to go look around for those things that we want to do. Oh, man, yeah, that's all about me. I want to do that. But, oh, no, I'm staying way away from that thing. That's what happens when we have to do them. But you know, you already know that the second notion's coming because I've talked about it here before. The second notion of this is that we get to do good works because we want to. And I know I've talked about that here before because I've had that conversation with some of you. We get to do those things because of what's inside of us. And if we have what's inside of us, what we're supposed to, it just exudes out of our body. It flows out of our body like we don't even think about it. It's just who we are. So when we start thinking about Christianity, we get away from this religious badge idea and have it all inside and just let the Spirit flow. Let Christ exude out of every part of what we do, no matter where we're at. I don't care where you work. Does what's inside of you in Christ exude and flow over everything that you do? That's what James is talking about. Abraham is such an interesting character, and I love that James brings it up. Because Abraham was an idol-worshipping pagan who knew nothing about what he was going to be when he got called. He got called to something different from someone he had no idea what it was, and he went. He was called by someone or something he had never seen before, and he did what he was asked to do. We haven't even considered what he walked away from, an incredibly, incredibly wealthy man. And he was told to leave it all behind. Your family, your goods, all of it. Just go. And then sometime later on, that same someone, something, whatever it was, asked him to sacrifice his son, the son of the covenant, the son of the promise. And what did he do? Okay. He made his son carry the wood that he was going to be sacrificed on. That's what he did. No one questions Abraham. And why don't you question Abraham? Because of what he did. He was not to prove anything, but he certainly did. James chapter 2, verse 14. What is it good if people, if they have faith but are not willing to act? Faith with no desire to have anything to do with Christ, or at least to show it. Not a matter of proving to God who we are, but letting God flow out of our bodies, letting the Spirit flow out of it all. It's where Abraham becomes this perfect example of saving faith, leading to action, soul-level trust, and devotion to the one that he knew all. We need to respond. We need to respond in the study of God's Word to build our stance before God, a stance that is right there with Christ. A continued building of that relationship with God, desiring to be more like Christ each and every day, acting in love, compassion, and care for this creation that our God has given to us. My friends, we must respond. So how does this all play out in Time magazine? An article that was written based on the way you answered. Hopefully people reading about our standing with our God, our standing with our Christ, how we relate to him and what makes it possible to relate with our Christ, our Savior. And then, why do we act the way we do? Why do we do some of those things that we do that they just don't understand if they don't know Christianity? So that's what happens when we stand before our God. We want that relationship with our God, with our Christ. And when we do that, what's on the inside is going to spew all over everything. Praise be to our Lord. Will you pray alongside me? Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for your willingness to come inside of us. And the fact that you have been willing to come inside of us allows for us then to stand before you in a way that shows who you are. That relationship that continues to be built all the time, trying to be and having this desire to want to be more like Jesus Christ each and every day. We stand before you, dear Father, wishing and ready to, that initiated what you have sent to us, that we will respond. That we will respond with who you have called us to be, to do all of those good works that you have left for us to do. We pray for this, Father. Always and only in the name of our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.